Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan, my partner today, Baskin, not with us today. Maybe he just wanted to stay home and listen to what Ken Dorsey had to say today. Offensive coordinator of the Browns has already spoken in Berea. We just heard Jake play one soundbite from what he had to say. This is a tough situation. The numbers, again, and everything you want to say about the Browns offense, blah, 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 whatever you want to say, it's this. 13, 15, 16, 17, 18. Those are points scored by the Browns in their five games so far this season. 13, 15, 16, 17, 18. And that's not enough to win football games, Dan.
No. No, this offense has been horrendous. It is, the line is not blocking at a level that it needs to for the quarterback to maintain success. The quarterback is playing poorly. Now, is some of that because of the wide receivers dropping passes? Sure. Is some of that because the line is not blocking up to their potential? Sure. Is some of it because he's playing poorly and bailing out of pockets that he shouldn't be and missing open receivers and all that stuff? Sure. That's the whole thing with this. There is not one part of this offense you can point to right now and say, yep, that's success.
Nope. And that's on...
including the future Hall of Fame guard that you could point to and say, yeah, that's success.
That's on everybody, too. Yeah. Everything with the offense isn't working. Dorsey spoke with the media today.
Yeah, was opening up with the million-dollar question, which is how in the world does the offense turn this around?
The approach that we have to take, as a whether it's the quarterback room or the whole offense, is we got to grind. You know, we got to go in, work our tails off, do whatever it takes for us to go out and focus on this week and winning this week.
Okay. Got to grind.
To quote you, the last time we did one of these, 0-for-1.
You like that, did you?
Come on, kids. Come on, kid. Get up there. It's just one at bat. You've got this. You got this, kid. You can hit this. Come on. You do this. Come on.
Starting to feel like a Guardians offense.
Still asking if he... This feels like a lap. Should be kill, right? Absolutely. Is Watson still, at this point, from what we have seen, is he still considered a winning quarterback in the eyes of Ken Dorsey?
I think we've got, you know, a lot of faith in Deshaun. I think for us, it's about everybody's got to be better on the offensive side of the ball. It's not just a point the finger at one person, anything like that. As coaches, as players, we all have to do better.
Okay. Should I go 0-for-2?
It feels like 0-for-1, and we call this like a walk.
Okay.
Or maybe a sack, okay. Sack fly.
Or better yet, a hit by a pitch.
That's more football. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of stating the obvious of, yeah, everybody needs to play better. We all need to do better. He's not incorrect. We'll put it that way. It's definitely not there. The other question that's been kicked around a little bit is the idea of Deshaun Watson being in the shotgun. The Browns have been in the shotgun a whole bunch this season. That's how Watson has always claimed he liked to operate, goes hand in hand a little bit with the spread offense, being able to see the defense in front of him, all of that good stuff. Ken Dorsey asks, hey, is he doing a little bit too much of that shotgun?
I think what we try to do when, you know, when we are in the gun, we're not one dimensional in any piece of our game, whether it's gun or under. As much as we've been and as much as we were, that we're still being balanced in there so that team can't just tee off on you knowing that you're going to only be in this protection, only be in this scheme.
Balance is not a word I would use with this offense right now.
That
it's throwing a lot more than it's running the football.
That was 0-for-2. That very much was, here is your salad, Mr. Phelps. It's covered in words. Do you want dressing for that? Oh, no, you don't. Okay, enjoy.
Yeah, that one, I disagree. They're not very balanced.
No, they're not. Now, again, is that play calling? Is that changing plays?
Is it you truly don't think you can run the ball? Which I would...
Is that,
I would be surprised if they thought that was the case.
Is that roster-based? Is that looking at Jerome Ford, Deontay Foreman, Pierre Strong, and going, this isn't much of a run game?
Yeah, except for one thing. Those guys have track records where they've been successful running backs in the league. Deontay Foreman has had some really good moments in his career. He was terrific in Carolina when he took over for McCaffrey. And Jerome Ford was very solid here last year. Neither one is Nick Chubb, but there aren't many of those walking around.
I agree, man. And if you see this much cover two, what does everybody tell you? When you see that much cover two, run the ball. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Sal Palantonio came onto our airwaves last week, did an awesome job just going, hey, everybody's running the ball. Everybody is running the ball well. Run the ball. And they won't do it. Now, again, is that because of quarterback? Is that because of play calling? Is that because of philosophy? Is that because of roster construction? I don't know.
Browns right now 27th in the NFL at 96.6 yards rushing per game.
Yeah, and they're when they have run it, it's been, what, slightly below league average, I think?
Yeah, I don't see a time where they're actually committed to the run. And, you know, do you really think that your best opportunity to win is by passing the ball? Okay, well, if that's what you think, except that's not proven to be true yet. Maybe it will prove to be true, but I don't think we've seen that yet. Do you?
If you go by EPA, which, again, a cool football stat that's basically, you should read it as how healthy is my offense? Like, is it succeeding? It's the idea of how many points added does this operation take place. So, in other words, it's basically like, are you healthy? You know, the Browns are 24th.
Only six teams in the NFL have thrown more passes than the Browns right now.
Yeah. Browns are 24th.
And the Browns aren't doing it very well because they're... sixth from the bottom in completion percentage, and it's just not working very well. Nothing on the offense is working.
No, not at all. And so a lot of people are starting to wonder about confidence, especially when it comes to the quarterback. Ken Dorsey had this to say when it came to, are we a little concerned about Watson's confidence?
I think that at the end of the day is something that if we come out and we're better as a unit, that's the big focus for us more so than anything. It's like, hey, let's focus on winning this play. Focus on this play every single play. We win that play, then move on to the next play and focus on that play.
Okay.
Well, that's 0-for-4.
I know. It's just
that is, boy. We're focused on winning the play. Win one play at a time. One step at a time.
It's just weird to me. They're not running the ball. They're passing it a lot more than most, and yet are 30th in yards per game passing. It just doesn't. It's like, wow, really? It makes me think two things. Either these guys are clueless, or they have nowhere to go. And I don't think they're clueless.
I don't think it's option one, man.
Yeah, I don't think they're clueless. I think Kevin Stefanski is a good coach.
Agreed.
I don't know enough about Ken Dorsey to know if he's a good offensive coordinator or not. You know, I saw him in Carolina. I saw him in Buffalo. Didn't last long in either place. Gets a lot of credit for having a good year with Cam Newton and gets some credit with Josh Allen, although Buffalo made a change.
Moved on from him, yep.
Right. But it almost makes you feel like they just have nowhere to go because you're not running it very often, but you're running it okay. You're passing it a lot, and you're not passing well. It's a it's a rough thing.
Yeah, and especially when we've got this many thoughts, and this is just a big question. Look, are the players still buying into the offense? And Ken Dorsey was asked, hey, are guys buying in, or are we starting to see some wandering eyes?
I think that the players are, you know, focused on one thing, and that's going out and being successful this week. That's the most important thing for us is going out and being successful this week, and I think that's the buy-in that our players have. That's the buy-in that the building has.
All right, there's a lot of coach talk from Ken Dorsey.
Oh, no, waitress, I don't need pepper for my dry salad. Please walk away.
There's a lot of coach talk. Mark is in Lakewood. Hello, Mark.
What tasty lettuce.
Jeff, how are you doing?
Okay.
Good, good. I got a take on let's go back just to basic fundamental football, first off, okay? We can't block our quarterback for more than 2-3 seconds. So let's eliminate immediately any pass route over 10 yards, number one. Number one. It doesn't matter who's back there. Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady, whoever it is. So the answer to this, we got to hit the slant routes to the receivers that can catch the football, for one. And then two, let's go back to hard-nosed football and mix it in. That's my take, Jeff. Longtime listener from Cleveland Heights originally. Love you guys.
Appreciate it, Mark. Thank you very much. I think they're trying to do a lot of things. I wish I had something to say, Mark, that could either back up what you said or be different from what you said or to completely contradict what you said. Man, I'm open to anything on the offense. What I do know is this. Deshaun seems to hang on to the football too long. The offensive line has had trouble blocking for him since he's been here. It's a different type of situation. Now the line has some real issues because they're having trouble blocking for absolutely anybody. So it just isn't working. Ken Dorsey's right. You go out and play well this week, that changes a lot of things. Okay, well, good. How are you going to do that? Good question. Manuel's in Elyria. Hello, Manuel.
How are you?
Hello. How you guys doing?
All right.
Very well.
All right. First-time caller.
Terrific.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Yeah. Anyway, real quick. Let's start with the quarterback, because, you know, the quarterback, the team goes how the quarterback goes, correct?
Yep, usually.
Okay. Now, you know, I don't think Watson knows how to read defenses, number one. You look at Brian Saib, Bernie Kosar, you know, they had a thing going that between the quarterback and the tight end, if they think there's a blitz, you throw a real quick five-yarder over the middle. We've seen that before. All right?
Yes.
Now, I'm a long-time season ticket holder when they came back. And I had tickets at the Dog Pound at the old stadium. But anyway, going back, you know, the play calling is terrible. You know, I don't see any pitch outs. I don't see any misdirection runs, et cetera, et cetera. And they throw these little five-yard passes to the running backs and, come on now, you know, stretch it out a little bit. You know, like Marino used to have sideline passes real quick, and then they fake that sideline pass and throw a bomb.
Yeah, but he also had Duper and Clayton, Manuel. Manuel, thank you for calling for the first time. We appreciate it. Do it again. Mike Silver, longtime NFL reporter, longtime sports reporter, also has a new book out. Mike's going to join us next here on Baskin and Phelps.
Hey, everybody, it's Andy Baskin for Choice Cabinets, locally.
He's been a national columnist for a long time, now with the San Francisco Chronicle as a columnist and also the author of a new book, The Why is Everything. We're going to get into all of that with Mike Silver. Hello, Mike.
I appreciate that lead-in very much.
You're very welcome, nice. Very much. We appreciate that.
When I get to hear Jerry before 9:30 Pacific, it's always a beautiful day.
You can follow Mike on the X at Mike Silver, where, by the way, you'll see a real nice picture of Mike with his childhood friend, a gentleman we know here by the name of Steve Kerr. Where'd you first meet Steve? How'd that happen? Because you guys have known each other a long time.
Well, first of all, that photo was taken in like a weird offshoot of the Ritz-Carlton lobby in your beautiful city.
Yeah, thanks. We remember why he was here. Thanks.
It was like 6 a.m. It was great. You know, Steve and I grew up together. We went to junior high and high school together, got to know each other really well in high school, and then ended up co-writing a sports column for our high school paper. So our high school paper was the Palisades Tideline, and we wrote something called the Riptide, which, depending on how you look at it, it lived up or down to its name. And, you know, I figured he had a shot at maybe, like, being a good journalist and, you know, had some writing chops. He's funny and, you know, it worked out okay for him.
He's actually one of my favorite guys that I've covered during my time working here in Cleveland. Steve's always been a gentleman and a terrific guy, and I hate the fact that he's the head coach of the Golden State Warriors who beat the Cavaliers. Yeah. In the finals.
By the way, I also went to the game six the next year where Steph threw the mouthpiece and as the Cavs were on their way to a dramatic comeback. So I've seen a lot.
All right, good. That makes me feel a lot better.
All right, Mike, so the book, The Why Is Everything, A Story of Football Rivalry and Revolution, it basically looks right at the San Francisco 49ers and, more than anything else, Kyle Shanahan and the Kyle Shanahan tree. What made you want to write this book? And more than anything, how amazing is it that this group of guys who were all coaching together, gosh, you could go to Washington, then finding their way to San Francisco, even Cleveland for a cup of coffee, all of a sudden has spread, and this philosophy has spread throughout football?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of good Cleveland in this book, because after the implosion in Washington, Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel and Mike LaFleur, I believe, ended up with the Browns for that 1 year. And we could get into that. But I know Browns fans are going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm so stoked to revisit the Ray Farmer texting season and Johnny and all that. But I covered the 49ers as a young beat writer back in the early 90s, and Mike Shanahan showed up. He had been fired ingloriously by Al Davis as the L.A. Raiders head coach. He'd been fired by Dan Reeves in Denver and accused of insubordination because he and John Elway were allegedly, you know, teaming up to run their own stuff. And so he really was embattled. And watching him resurrect his career in San Francisco with Steve Young, then go to Denver and bring outside zone into that Walsh system, was really a formative experience for me. And then when he showed up in Washington and I saw what they did with RG3. So in 2012, they draft RG3, who only had experience out of the pistol, and they transported their entire offense, outside zone and everything, into the pistol, caught the whole league off guard. And, you know, you remember that rookie season was revelatory, although there is a game in Cleveland that Kirk Cousins played that we get into in the book. But, you know, that to me is when I really closely started following this group and just saw how different their philosophies were in terms of being willing to scrap everything and question everything and, you know, running an entirely different system if it, you know, meant that it meshed with what they had. And, for so long, coaches, I feel like in football, have been like, hey, we just do it because this is the way it's been done. Don't question it. Don't ask why. You know, they didn't want the players to know the reasoning behind it. These guys have to have a purpose behind everything they do, and they want the players to then understand it so the players buy in. So, they've obviously gone off and had a lot of success. So on that Mike Shanahan staff, Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Raheem Morris, Matt LaFleur, Mike McDaniel, all head coaches now, and then so many offshoots you see around the league who are thriving.
The year you mentioned, though, 2014, when he was with the Browns, was really Kyle's first opportunity to kind of stand on his own and not be part of his dad's, you know, framework, maybe his first real shot at it.
Well, he had actually been the youngest offensive coordinator in the league for the Texans and had a bunch of success earlier, so It was more that the stench of that Washington thing was so bad. You know, Mike Shanahan never got another job, and Kyle was, you know, he was fighting for his career too. And he did some really good work that year in 2014, if you remember, with the running game.
Oh, we do remember.
Yeah. So it was like, in one sense, he resurrected himself, but in the other sense, he got caught up in that, you know, whirlwind. So you go from Dan Snyder to that year. And, you know, I mean, I remember I went to the game Johnny started, you know, that was like Super Sunday, you know, you remember, that was crazy. And, and then he famously fought his way out after the 1 year.
Yeah.
And in the book, we get into Mike McDaniel writing up the 32-point presentation as to why Kyle should be allowed to leave. And I got to tell you, I was.
And McDaniel wrote that up?
Yeah, Kyle had McDaniel write that up. And so McDaniel told me it was very receiver heavy because McDaniel was the receiver's coach.
But, why did they feel a need to do that, goodness, to get out of here?
Yeah, we get into all that in the book for sure. You guys will be into it. But basically, you know, Mike Shanahan told him, you know, you're going to lose your career if you stay here and get caught up in this watch. I think for Mike Shanahan, it was the texting and the you've got to play Johnny part of it, that where he was just like, dude, you don't have a chance. And so, you know, and Pettin was sympathetic. It was ownership and management that was less sympathetic. And there were some interesting negotiations before he got out. They wanted him to issue a pretty dramatic statement. And I think in the end, he didn't have to, you know, say exactly those things. But I remember at the time, I was, you know, at NFL Network, and I was like, how did he get out? It's crazy. And then he really had a rough 2015 in Atlanta that first year, and you know, that almost fell apart too before that epic season in 2016.
Mike Silver joining us. San Francisco Chronicle has got a new book out as well. The Why Is Everything, A Story of Football Rivalry and Revolution, talking about the Kyle Shanahan tree, which we know all too well. It was in Cleveland for a period of time. It is amazing to even go to that Atlanta part of it, Mike, where you're right. Year one was rocky with Matt Ryan. It was almost like Matt Ryan wouldn't buy in. And then all of a sudden, year two.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Kicked in, and that offense takes off, and they find their way into the Super Bowl. Do you get into it all? What caused Matt Ryan to buy into that offense?
Yeah, well, first of all, they had to have a summit meeting in Southern California that was referred to by various people as marriage counseling, our kumbaya sessions. But Matt Ryan spent his offseason with Tom House and Adam Dato, the quarterback gurus, some of his offseason. So he was out there, and Kyle and Dan Quinn, the head coach, and Matt LaFleur, who was the quarterback coach, went out there, and they spent a day and a night and you know, at night they were at Tom House's place having beers and taking, they had taken personality tests, and they said a lot of really, really stark things, including Matt LaFleur memorably being called a part of the body that we don't typically refer to on the radio. I think you're allowed to. It's kind of a slang name.
Yeah, we know where you're leaning.
Yeah. It's not one of the biggies. It's kind of the in between. And so Matt, the point that Tom House was making was that Matt LaFleur was stuck in between Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan, you know, going at each other. And one of the things that came out of that was they moved Kyle upstairs. You know, usually it's like, oh, he could see the game better. In this case, it was like, we got to get Kyle and Matt Ryan separated and at least have this play out over communications, and then Kyle would just yell at Matt LaFleur, and Matt LaFleur would go try to translate it to Matt Ryan, who would yell back at Matt LaFleur, and then he would try to go translate it to Kyle. So, you know, they made some changes, but they do credit those meetings or that meeting as, you know, kind of the thing that turned it all around. And Mike McDaniel would have been at the meeting presumably, but he was in rehab at the time, so there was a lot going on.
The book is The Why Is Everything. The author is Mike Silver. Mike, the situation that you're talking about when Johnny Manziel was here and Kyle had to deal with that, then the team brings in Baker Mayfield and the coaches had to deal with that situation. Baker playing well now for Tampa. Now you have Deshaun Watson here. What does your background, what does your knowledge of football tell you when a quarterback is brought in? And it happens all around the NFL, where a coach is tasked with make this work, because Kyle was, and other coaches have been, and that seems to be the case here now with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, and it's crazy to me that we're having this conversation where we just start comparing Deshaun Watson to Johnny Manziel, who's, you know, maybe one of the least prepared people for that job. You know, as we've now, it's now been documented. I watched the doc, but yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to be with Deshaun because, you know, I covered his playoff game against the Bills in Houston. I saw him do like so many cool things that he just looked like he had it early and continued to get better. And so I understand now that everybody looks back and goes, how could you make this trade? Of course, because it's an albatross and he's not the same guy and doesn't seem to be close to recapturing the magic and doesn't seem to have confidence. I get at the time why you would try to take a swing. They may have swung too hard in retrospect, but you know, man, it's hard because you know, like I cover the 49ers a lot, and they traded three ones, and we get into this in the book, and Kyle, you know, talked himself into Trey Lance and took him at number three, and it was an atrocious pick. And usually when that happens, that takes everyone down. It sets the franchise back years. The coach and the GM get fired, et cetera, et cetera. They picked Brock Purdy with pick 262 the next year and seemed to have gotten away with it, right? Everybody's still there. They went to the Super Bowl. So that's a fluke. But certainly when you do that and then pay and it's guaranteed money with the cap realities, that's another level. And, I mean, I just don't know what to say. He does not look remotely like the guy that we saw earlier. And, you know, that's a spin cycle of confidence, and it feeds on itself. And there are certainly reasons why outsiders might look at it and root against them, you know, away from the field. There are reasons. So there's all that, too. And I don't know how that factors in. But just from a football perspective, it's a bummer for me to watch. And I'm kind of hoping I see a glimpse here and there. You guys watch it more closely. But man, that's really hard for an organization. And I've talked about the Browns' dysfunction a lot over the years, but this is also kind of bad luck, I feel like.
Mike Silver joining us. San Francisco Chronicles, where you can read him. Of course, pick up the book wherever booksellers are selling it. The Why Is Everything, A Story of Football Rivalry and Revolution. All right, Mike, so you are out in San Francisco covering them. Over under 3 weeks before Robert Saleh is hired as a defensive analyst consultant.
Well, I'm actually in Seattle because there's a game tonight, Seahawks-Niners. But, yeah, you know, I did report right away, like within an hour after he was dismissed, that his inclination, Saleh, is that he wants to just step away, go on vacation. You know, I think he'd look at tape if asked or something like that. But I think his mindset is take a deep breath and try to be a coordinator, you know, in this next cycle, go get a good coordinator job. And, you know, I did write about it, though, because there are a lot of people in Northern California who would love to see that happen. So Kyle Shanahan had Saleh, then DeMeco Ryans. Obviously, that went great, although both started slowly. Then he had Steve Wilks for a year from the outside, who I know has, you know, been up there too at Your Way. Really good coach, really respected coach, but was from outside the system, and they tried to make it work. Scapegoated him, let's be honest. Fired him after a Super Bowl where they held Patrick Mahomes to one touchdown in regulation. You know, it wasn't perfect, but like I thought that was a raw deal for Steve Wilks. And then promoted Nick Sorensen, saying we just want to go back to our wide nine, Seattle three basics, and which is weird because like Kyle knows more than anyone, as you see in the book, you've got to constantly evolve. But he sold it as like we're just going back to what we do. But then he brought in Brandon Staley, who, for as maligned as he was in some ways as the Chargers head coach, remember that 1 year in 2020 when he was Sean McVay's defensive coordinator, they had the number one defense in the league, and he installed a new system during COVID, like over Zoom. It was an incredible performance. And Staley's a Vic Fangio disciple who does, you know, runs a very different scheme. So it was kind of like, well, Staley's going to be there, maybe freshening some things up in the back end and overseeing, but we're going back to basics. So, yeah, the defense hasn't been as good. You can explain some of it with personnel and injuries. Fans are impatient. I don't think Kyle's inclined to make a change. If he were inclined to make a change, I think Staley would be the obvious. You know, you just quietly say, Staley, you do more, or maybe say you call the defense. So I don't see Saleh coming there this year, but is there a world where he Kyle calls him and says, hey, could you just look at our film and tell me what you're seeing? Probably.
He's Mike Silver. The book, The Why Is Everything, A Story of Football, Rivalry, and Revolution. Mike, always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks for having me. And yeah, don't hold it against me that I'm close personal friends with Steve Kerr and Hugh Jackson. I'm not as bad as you think, I promise.
Steve's our good buddy. We've always liked Steve. Didn't go well with Hugh. We'll leave it at that. Mike, thank you.
Yeah, this brought out all his worst qualities, and I share some of them. Like, you know, so I think we'd all agree that it didn't go well.
Yes.
And here we are.
Yes. Mike, thanks.
You're a fellow deadhead, Mike. I can't hold anything against you.
Right. I mean, and there's a lyric for this, obviously.
There it is. Mike,
we'll spare the listeners.
Thank you, bud. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, bud.
Mike Silver in Seattle is the Niners getting ready to take on the Seahawks, and you can read his coverage on the San Francisco Chronicle in that book out now. If you're a Browns fan, that sounds like something you want to read, at least that chapter of it. We're also a radio station that pays attention to what's going on in the world. And in Florida right now, folks are dealing with Hurricane Milton, and it is a bad situation. And we just saw Hurricane Helene do some really bad things to the Carolinas and parts of Florida and Georgia and Tennessee and everything else. We can all help. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Christy Peters joins us now. She's the regional communications manager of the American Red Cross right here in Northeast Ohio. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you with us. Unfortunately, we are having you with us because there are a lot of folks who need help. The American Red Cross in these situations is the go-to organization for helping folks. What are you guys doing? And obviously, everything's just starting to settle a little bit after the hurricane blew on shore. Where are you guys going with this? How is it going for you guys as a Red Cross organization trying to help out?
Our hearts go out to everyone who has been impacted by Hurricane Milton. And right now we have around 40 American Red Cross disaster workers from Northern Ohio on the ground. 20 of them are in Florida, and many of them were there prior to the storm. Some of them were helping with Helene, and some of them went specifically to help stage and prepare for Hurricane Milton. Right now, they are working with our partners and supporting about 83,000 people who are in evacuation shelters across the state. It's going to be days before we know really what the true devastation is. But a lot of those evacuation shelters in the next couple of days will turn into emergency shelters for people who can't return home. And our volunteers will be there providing shelter, food, water, relief supplies, just ensuring that everyone who has been affected has a safe place to go, to get a meal, to charge a phone, to have a conversation after the aftermath of all of this.
So, Christy, what can people around here in Northeast Ohio do to help those who've been devastated by this?
Right now, you can make a huge impact by making a financial donation to the American Red Cross. Financial donations allow us to immediately start helping. Oftentimes, when people are forced to evacuate their homes, they're leaving behind things that they need, such as prescriptions or maybe, you know, durable medical equipment, walkers and things like that. Financial donations allow us to purchase those items for people right away so they have them in our shelters. And of course, that money will help us as we begin the recovery process. You can text Hurricanes to 90999 to make a donation. As you mentioned, we're dealing with Milton, but we have just begun the process of looking at what Helene did and what those individuals are going to need as well. And those donations can help that as well. We always need more volunteers. As I mentioned, we have about 40 volunteers, and that's a majority of our disaster workforce here in Northern Ohio, across the Southeast, helping. And unfortunately, as hard as it is to believe, we are still in hurricane season. We will need more volunteers, not only to help when disasters strike across the country, but also here in our region when we deal with home fires, where our volunteers go and help families who've been impacted to make sure they have a safe place to go and start providing recovery resources for them. 90% of our workforce is volunteers, and we always need more help. And you can learn more about that at redcross.org. And if you're able to donate blood, that is another huge need that we have. Obviously, when hurricanes destroy areas in the country, we can't host blood drives, and people who normally donate can't get out to do so. So, of course, we would meet our local needs here first, but because we're a national organization, we can move blood across the country. And so you have the ability to help not only patients here, but those across the country. If you're in the hospital, unfortunately, those needs don't stop for disasters, and so the need for blood is constant.
Christy Peters joining us from the Northeast Ohio region here of the American Red Cross. You mentioned you need volunteers, Christy. Explain to folks who might be interested in that what happens when you volunteer. How do you guys put them to work?
So when you volunteer, you'll go through some training. And right now, a majority of our volunteers are in shelters in these areas. And so that involves learning just about how to run a shelter, helping people get into the shelter, getting it set up, as well as providing mass care and feeding. You know, some of these shelters have 400 to 500 people in them. And so we have to have a process for how we feed them, how we get everybody through the line quickly. And that's what that training will be about. We also have volunteers who will go out and drive our emergency response vehicles. We have several emergency response vehicles from Cleveland that are in these areas. What they do is drive around in devastated areas where families might not have been able to get out and deliver food and deliver cleanup kits. So there's training about driving the IRV and how to do all of that and get those meals out. So right now the focus would be on sheltering, mass feeding. And of course, if you are someone who has a specialty, if you are a nurse, if you are a mental health professional, we have volunteer roles for you as well. Obviously, going through two hurricanes within a two-week period is traumatic for many of these individuals. Nurses and mental health individuals help in our shelters by checking blood pressures, making sure that people who have ongoing needs get the health care they need, as well as talking to people, walking them through some of their feelings, making sure that everyone is doing okay, not only physically, but mentally after a disaster.
Christy, one more time, redcross.org. People can get information if they would like to financially help out. They can text Hurricane to 90999.
They can text Hurricanes.
Canes, plural. Got it.
We're dealing with two, to 90999. You can always call 1-800-RED-CROSS as well to make a donation. And if you're interested in donating blood, visit redcrossblood.org. We have several blood drives happening in the area every day. You can search by your zip code to find one near you.
Christy, thank you for your work. Thank you for being with us and getting that information out. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Christy, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Christy Peters, the Regional Communications Manager of the Northeast Ohio region of the American Red Cross, joining us right there. And clearly, it's a terrible situation. I lived on the Gulf Coast in Texas for 5 years, dealt with a couple of hurricanes there. And the ones I dealt with weren't as bad as what we're seeing now and what we saw with Katrina and everything else. And it's just horrendous, the damage. And it's so if you can help out, by all means, please do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.